Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller is on the air. Tune in for insight and encouragement for living a more sustainable, back-to-basics lifestyle. No matter where you've come from or what the future may hold, we hope each episode will encourage you with topics, guests, and stories that inspire your journey towards self-sufficiency. And now, the hostess of Your Preparation Station, Donna Miller.
Welcome to a new episode of Your Preparation Station. I'm your host, Donna Miller. I'm so excited to have you with me today. We actually have a series coming up. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to build upon each of these topics and help you with your gardening. So I have a wonderful guest with me today. His name is Scott Peterson. He is the owner and operator of Down to Earth Seeds. And you can find him at downtoearthseeds.com. And find a little bit more out about him there as well. But this first show, we're going to talk about prepping your garden. Topics like irrigation, mulching, kind of doing the timing for your transplants, things like that in this episode. And then in another week, we're going to talk about dealing with pests. You know, the garden's going to be coming. You need to be proactive. Figure out how you're going to deal with pests. What are you going to do about pesticides? What about neighborhood drift for pesticides, even if you don't want to use pesticides? And then some natural options. And then our last show is about seed saving. Planting with saving in mind, how to seed save, and some of the best practices for it. But today, we're going to jump into prepping your garden here with Scott. So I hope that you'll join me and welcome my guest, Scott Peterson, and we'll just jump right in and get going. Okay, so Scott, we've had a chance to talk back and forth a little bit for the past few weeks, and kind of this is what came up with these three in sequence shows that we're doing here. I guess the best place to start is prepping the garden. I'm going to let you take it away and start talking about the best way for us to start planning to prep our garden now.
Well, thank you, Donna. And what we're looking at when we're prepping the garden is, you have to begin with something. If you have an established dirt field or a garden spot already, that's great. But a lot of people don't, and maybe this is their first time. One caution I will tell people is that they don't want to start too big. Don't overestimate that you can do all this stuff and get carried away. So your layout is very, very important on what you want to do, because you got to look at your length of your rows. You have to look at, you know, how wide, you know, space constraints, what you're actually going to grow, whether, you know, you're going to have a lot of corn or whether you're just going to have a lot of smaller vegetables. And so you need to have a plan. And what we usually do is either take a piece of graph paper or just a regular piece of paper and kind of draw it out so we have kind of a detailed plan. And we try to stick with that, because when you get out in the garden, you say, well, I'll make this row a little longer. Well, when you're out there harvesting or something like that, you're going to sit there and say, why did I make this row longer? And it can really be upsetting, because either that or you've got something at the very end that you didn't want or didn't have enough of. Mm-hmm. So when you're laying out a garden, it's crucial to sit there and plan how you're going to maintain that garden, whether you're going to till the rows, whether you're going to need breaks within the row so you can get to another row without having to go all the way to the end. You're also going to look at your watering, whether you're doing, you know, underground watering, above ground water. If you use a sprinkler, I suggest once you get your ground figured out what you want to do, is use the sprinklers that you're going to normally use in your garden. You know, plan where the hoses go and everything else, and turn the sprinkler on and see where it reaches. And realize that if you have tall things like peas or beans or tomatoes or something like that, you're going to have to bring that sprinkler up higher. So, but that way you're going to know how far that water is going to reach. And then you can plant accordingly, because there's nothing worse than planting a row and then having to go out to the end and grab that. So,
yeah. That's something I actually would not have thought of. I've done the move the sprinkler dance, you know, the every 5 minutes go out and move it around just to try to get the right shot. So I would have not even thought of that. That's great.
Yep. And one thing with watering, one of the reasons I put watering here in the beginning is because we use underground irrigation. We use a product called T-Tape. It's fantastic because it just soaks the plant's root base. It doesn't water the path and what's in our paths but weeds or, you know, grass or whatever. And so now we got to maintain something. So why should we water something we really don't want to maintain? So that's a huge thing. So if you plant or if you plan your garden now, you can go out and lay this stuff called T-Tape. DripWorks out of California. It's called DripWorks, and I'll promote them as much as I possibly can because they're a fantastic company. But they have everything you need. They'll help you plan it. They'll ship right away. It's definitely a California company, but the watering system is very, very low pressure. You don't need it. You can turn it on. And somebody told me one time that, you know, you holding a sprinkler in your hand or a sprayer, the amount of time you'd actually have to be out there to actually get adequate water to your plants, like 2 hours in an area.
Oh, wow.
And we think, oh, the top is wet, but it didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sprayed the leaves, you know. And then a lot of times, even with overhead sprinkling, we will shock the plant here in Arkansas. You know, we get a 80, 90 degree day, and you throw 50 degree water on it. You know, let's take the ice water challenge here and throw it on our plants, and, you know, it shocks them. And so you've got to watch that, especially with, you know, some of the plants like beans and stuff like that, where they'll get a rust and everything else with, you know. So we have to look at, you know, how we're going to do things and why we want to do them. So your layout, your watering, those are two of the main things in getting your prepping of your garden. Of course, you know, doing your soil is very important, you know, getting it so it's tilled up and, you know, loose so you have something to work with.
Would you say that for like for underground watering, is it something that you would consider in both raised beds or regular tilled garden or boxes? I mean, how would you suggest that before anyone goes in and puts in their good soil to go in and get the underground watering system laid out?
Well, the underground system is typically like what we do is we till our garden.
Mm-hmm.
We plan out how we're going to do it. We use like 3/4-inch PVC pipe. We just push it together because it only takes 3 PSI to run the system. You lay the T-tape out on top of the ground. We plant our plants accordingly. Then we mulch around it. So actually, it's right there, but the T-tape, the watering aspect, is right along the root base. And so that's where it always is. So it's not like some great big permanent system that you can't pull up and change or very easy to repair. It's very, very water conscious. For people who have wells, who have problems with water volume,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people have okay water, but it takes a while to get it there. So, you know, they're not just running very many gallons per minute. So on a low volume water system, it works great.
Okay, this is like the anti-watering question, but this is we have an area, and I don't know if anyone else deals with this. North Carolina is a temperate rainforest. We have some areas that are just squishy. Is that even a feasible thought to do, say, a raised bed above something like that to where, you know, there's a spring that runs beside it, so sometimes the ground is a little squishy underneath it. Is that even a good thought for someone trying to plan a spot for their garden?
Well, it's not ideal because a lot of plants have a problem with wet feet. And, you know, I look at that we're all the same creation. How many things do you see stand out in a puddle? We don't like it. Animals don't like it. Our plants don't like it. So we just have to take it all in stride a lot of times. And a lot of these questions are self-answered just by thinking of that.
Yeah.
Now take it to the next level and say, well, does the deer stand there? No. Does the trees grow there? No. What grows here? You know, And in a prepping situation, yes, you do need access to water, you know, especially if it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're not in a prepping situation right now.
Right.
We have access of portable and potable water at demand. So it's usually, if you do a raised bed, you can still use a drip irrigation. We do 12 raised beds. They're 4 foot by 10 foot. Some of them we made 5 foot. It gets a little hard to reach the middles. And, you know, even there, we plant all of our small stuff, our spinach, our radishes, our lettuce, something that doesn't need rows. We
mm-hmm.
can bulk plant them. And we try to very much conserve our energy to get the most out of our garden without a lot of input.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what everybody strives for. So.
Yeah. Well, I just had to ask that because I know everybody's, you know, landscape is different, and I tend to be, I guess, one of those people that would overwater things to death. I just assume it needs a lot of water. But, you know, you made a very good point. You know, not everything is, people and things don't like to be constantly soggy and wet, so therefore plants don't have to have that either. You know, whether it's herbs or your vegetables or anything, I guess that makes sense to make sure it has that opportunity to, for lack of a better word, dry out, get air versus water, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what you're doing is actually when the soil is so wet, it's almost considered hard.
Mm-hmm.
Two things happen. One, usually in a very wet area, there's not a lot of nutrients. For the simple reason is that it's always being washed away. Heavier clay soils actually have more nutrients than sandy soils because they're usually not leached out. They hold them. They grab hold of the nutrients. So you've got all that going on, but your roots need air. You know, they mm-hmm. need this kind of, you know, right now we've got transplants going, and they if you give them too wet, they're going to all die off in 2 weeks.
That's a good point.
And it's so you've got to kind of keep their feet a little bit dry, enough moisture to allow them to grow properly, but you don't want to overwater. And I would say probably the easiest thing that happens with gardening is people either underwater or overwater, one of the two.
I'm an overwater. I know all the time.
But usually that's something that is consistent in garden failure.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, we're going to take a real quick break, hear from our sponsors, and we're going to come back with Scott. We're going to talk about something he kind of alluded to just a second ago about mulching and transplants when it comes to prepping your garden. So we will be right back after this word from our sponsor.
At MillersGrainHouse.com, you'll find both electric and off-grid appliances and encouragement to build your preparation kitchen. Miller's Grain House is dedicated to helping you save money while you prep. Connect with Miller's Grain House on Facebook and check out our videos. Remember, MillersGrainHouse.com to save on all your preparedness kitchen needs.
Are you looking to have ducks, geese, chickens? Boy, do we have something to share with you. Stop by ranch-coop.com. These folks build some of the most beautiful handcrafted coops for small areas as well as the farm. They are so easy to put together. It took us less than an hour, and they're shipped right to your door. Stop by ranch-coop.com. Wonderful people to deal with. Beautiful coops that you can use for backyard and homestead fowl. Ranch-coop.com.
Do you have your free digital subscription to Prepare Magazine yet? If not, then hurry over to preparemag.com and start getting each monthly issue sent directly to your inbox. It's easy. All you have to do is go to preparemag.com, enter your name and email address, and you're subscribed. Consider signing up for the premium membership for past issues and exclusive resources. You can even subscribe to the beautiful print version of Prepare Magazine. Visit preparemag.com and choose the option that's most valuable to you. Prepare Magazine, encouraging, empowering, and enriching your journey.
Your preparation station is on the air.
Welcome back to Your Preparation Station. Thank you for staying here with me and my guest, Scott Peterson. We are going to be going into a little bit more in depth in some of the topics that Scott touched on earlier part of the show, which is mulching and transplants. Now, if you are listening, this is the first in a series. We have a couple more coming up after this, and then kind of a more interactive thing planned for later on in, well, 3 weeks after this first show. So please stay tuned. Listen through to the series that Scott's doing with me. I'm really excited that he's here doing these because it's kind of leading up to some greater education and greater opportunity for improving your skills in gardening, which, you know, even if you're a seasoned gardener or brand new at this, you can always pick up something new. I've enjoyed my conversations that have not been recorded with Scott. I've always picked up some new stuff just in talking to him about what it is that his area of expertise. So we're going to talk about mulching. You know, I'll be honest. I've mulched more bushes and house garden plants around the outside, I think, landscaping, than I have my own garden. So explain to us what mulching actually does.
Well, a couple things that we've noticed, and of all the things we've learned in gardening, two things have been primarily the big, if we have to say, the big event. One of them was the irrigation, which I talked about before. The second is mulching. We discussed, you know, we want to get the most out of our time in the garden to make our garden work for us. And so how can we do that? And we used to do different types of mulching. We at one time had over an acre and a half of gardens. Grew over 1,800 tomato plants, you know, 800 pepper plants. We did farmers markets in three major cities. It was pretty intense. I wish that on nobody. but you had to be conservative. We didn't have any mechanical means of, you know, doing all this stuff. So it was just, you know, us and our children, and they'll never forget it either. They never want to do it again either. So, but what we learned is that, you know, weeding took up a lot of our time. Maintenance of the garden took up a lot of time. You know, it's one thing growing it, it's one thing watering, but now we're trying to get rid of vegetation that naturally just comes up because it's unattended in the past. So we used plastic mulch in the beginning. And that was nice. You lay it down, you know, pop your holes, put the watering system down through it, plant your plants. It worked really, really good. Some of the drawbacks of that was you had to rip it all up. You had to dispose of the mulch afterwards. It wasn't guaranteed. We also seen that we didn't improve our soil any in doing all this. So it was kind of a, okay, it was a workaround. We got rid of some weeds around our plants. We still had our paths to worry about. At that point in time, we actually just put like an annual grass down, and we mowed it with a lawnmower, and it worked great. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to maintain those pathways. So that worked nice. And then all of a sudden we start saying, well, you know, we live in the Ozarks. We got tons of leaves. Why don't we rake up the leaves, put them out, see where we're going at with this? So we start doing that. It worked great. But then we had to go out and harvest the leaves and drag them in, and, you know, it was labor-intensive.
Mm-hmm.
Except the results was that we had a good permanent mat over our whole garden. Things didn't grow up through it. Plus, it's biodegradable. We could just till it all in, and we were kind of feeding our soil.
Mm-hmm.
We tried newspaper. We tried hay. We tried straw. We tried heavy-duty cardboard. And they all had their benefits. And I would say with mulching, any type of mulch you can put in your garden, especially if it's a biodegradable compost, anything will work. And it's probably better than doing nothing because you're refeeding that soil again. But we found was that we reverted back to leaves. And one day we were driving through town, and we noticed that all the city folks were getting rid of their leaves. And, you know, they conveniently bagged them up, set them out by the curb. And then the refuge company came along and charged them $1 or $2 a bag to pick them up. So we said, hey, if these people here are just willing to give us their leaves already bagged up, I'll take them. So now every year, we've done this for 8 years now, people have actually gotten to know us. They'll actually call us and say, hey, I got 20 bags. You know, you want to come pick them up? We usually wait until we get a big truck and a trailer that we can go in and go into town, pick up all these people's leaves, stuff our trailer full. Now, granted, we do have a big pile of, looks like, garbage out in our yard or out by the garden. We try to hide as much as possible. But then we've got all these leaves. Somebody else did all the work for us. We can just take the bags of leaves, drag them to where we want to, spread them out, and we're done.
Nice. That's awesome.
And so now we're helping the city folks. We're helping the landfills. We're doing it ourselves. And it works fantastic. The thing about mulch is that it retains water. It gives your biomass nutrients back to your plants and to your bugs and everything else. Keeps the weeds from growing up. Very seldom does my wife or anybody in our family hoe. You know, hoeing is not even a deal. Our whole thing looks like it's a leaf bed. So it just I can't say it enough. The only downfalls part of it is that it does give out a little bit more tannic acid, which is known to be in leaves, especially oak. I wouldn't probably use pine needles if you happen to live in that type of area. And it keeps the ground cool. That's okay in midsummer. It's not so okay so much right now, because now we want to get our plants out there. And if we get a frost, the ground temperature is going to be stifled a little bit slower because it's had this mulch on it. And so the combination between a freeze and the ground temperature being a little bit cold because we have the mulch will actually burn our plants. So mulching is something that it's almost a have to do. We mulch our raised beds. And
you have a time of year, like a time of year that, is it always fall? Is it always, or is it something you just could perpetually?
To get the leaves, you know, well, one thing about gardening is you never want to leave your soil fallow, more or less, with nothing on it. So in the springtime, we till it up, we put our mulch down, we plant our garden, and we leave that mulch on it. Then comes fall times after we harvest, we'll take and we'll till everything in, pull up all our tea tape, till everything in, and then we'll usually plant like a buckwheat or annual rye, something to generate a little bit what they call green manure. And that way we have a ground cover in the spring. We'll turn around, replow that down or retill it down. And there we go again. We got that cycle. The ground's always had something to eat. It's had protection. Our worms are happy. Our bugs are happy. And plus, you know, when you till down that lush green, whatever you have, you may have to do it. Depends where you live. A couple times during the winter months. You're just feeding that soil. It's ready-made compost. So it's the ultimate way to do it. Even in our raised beds, we mulch all them around our strawberry plants, around the leeks and onions. You know, we'll just take a pencil, pop them in the leaf beds, put our leek plants, onion plants right in there, and everything all comes up.
Nice.
And plus it keeps kind of the bugs away. You know, I think bugs have this radar. They fly over and say, hey, look at all those nice rows down. We'll just go down there and munch down. You know,
yeah.
This looks like a wooded patch of something, you know.
I think you're exactly right. Well, you've already touched on the how you do some transplanting. Now, I will go ahead and say in our area of North Carolina, it's one of the old mountain things. Everybody says don't put anything in the ground till after Mother's Day, because we're known to have a serious heavy enough frost. You can start transplanting. I mean, you start your seeds indoors as soon as you want to or whatever. And usually between Easter and Mother's Day, we have a snow, which I don't understand that one. So they always say don't put anything in the ground yet. So transplanting, that is another part of prepping for the garden. You need to think in advance for that.
Well, you do. There again, you need to know what you're going to transplant in. And it's best if you're using, you know, the heirloom seeds, so you know you've got some good quality type seeds to start off with, so now you got some good plants. And one of the biggest things people forget is that they'll grow transplants in their house, and they'll take them from the house into the garden and set them out there. Hmm. Well, there's a step in between, and actually we're right in that area right now of transplanting. And we have some just coming up. We have some that are being out, are outside in their pots, hardening off. That's what they call it, hardening off. That's where you put them out in the sun, let them get beat up a little bit by the sun, a little bit of wind. You don't want to just set them out. You know, you don't want to disturb their root base and set them out in the garden at the same time. That's a big enough shock on them. Just setting them out of their pot is a huge shock on that plant. So we'll actually have a little fan that we put over by our transplants and let the fan wind blow over it to strengthen that stem, to strengthen that plant like it naturally would. Mm. And so it's a hardening off process. We transplant it out. We like a bigger root ball, a little bit more room. And we, too, have that problem with a late frost. I can guarantee you, especially with the mulch, I can guarantee you this year, like every other year, we'll put out tomatoes at least one frost too early. And we have actually had 20 tomato plants in a row. And the frost comes in, and it'll kill five of them in the middle of the row.
Man. Yeah.
Why that happens, I don't know. It's just like a little vortex or something like that. But the quality you get out of your own plants, and you know, because now you get to select. You just don't go down and look at the six packs at the grocery stores. And if that's all you have available, that's fine. But you know, I would prefer going to a local nursery, or even a lot of the high schools, the FFAs, 4-Hs will have their own little greenhouse projects and sell plants. Mm-hmm. Farmers markets are a good place to get it. But if you just have the Lowe's, Home Depot, the box stores where you have to get them, you know, they're being shipped in, and, you know, I'll walk past these displays of potted plants, and I feel sorry for them. I feel like, you know, like these dogs are being whipped. You know, these plants are all just laying there like, we need water, you know.
Get us out, set us free.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got blossoms on them, little peppers or tomatoes started on them, and they got a 3-inch or a little bitty old pot. And it's just like, oh, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I recommend everybody to try to do that. And there's all sorts of information out there, and we try to educate, just like I'm doing now. Educate people on this stuff. I don't know everything. You know, I'm no botanist or anything like that. I just happen to learn from the hard knocks of doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's sometimes the best way, because then you can explain all the things not to do that people think they ought to do or have repeatedly done because they just learned it from someone else. So,
right.
You know, finding out the hard way sometimes gives you a greater education. So I appreciate you coming, and I really appreciate you doing the series in a row. I mean, we have three shows, so if you've listened to this one, make sure you tune in next time. Scott's going to talk with me about dealing with pests. Which, you know, basically we're going through the growing season right here in three short radio shows to introduce you to Scott. And then on the last show, we're going to talk about seed saving. But then we're going to invite you to something to do that's a little bit more interactive. So I hope you'll stay tuned and come back to the next show to listen to Scott and we deal with pests. So. Scott, I'm going to tell everybody websites and places where they can connect with you, and we're just going to go ahead and sign off after that, and we'll come back next week to talk about dealing with garden pests. Does that sound good to you?
Yes, it does.
All right, great. Remember, you can get in touch with Scott if you go to downtoearthseeds.com, and you can contact him. Let him know that you heard about him on Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller, and I'm sure he will work with you and help you find the right seeds that will help you get the best garden this year and hopefully any year in the future that you might need. Until next time, we'll see you again, and tune in next week for another episode that continues on this theme, and we're going to talk about more about your gardening. God bless, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller. We would love to hear from you. Please connect with us at yourpreparationstation.com and on Facebook. Tune in again next time for another encouraging episode. Until then, keep growing and finding joy in the journey.